Welcome to Mighty Parenting, the podcast with real, raw, and relevant talk about raising teens and parenting young adults. Here are your hosts, Judy Davis and Sandy Fowler.
Welcome to Mighty Parenting, a community where we help you raise your teens and parent your 20-somethings so they can become happy, successful, and emotionally healthy adults. I'm Sandy Fowler, and I'm here with my co-host, Judy Davis. And today, we are going to be talking first about sports parents. Although, I'm guessing some of that advice is going to carry over to other activities, too. I know that we can get carried away in a lot of different areas with our kids. And even just mentioning the sports parents brings back the thought of this, I guess it's a meme, that I saw recently online. And is talking about how mom is there making breakfast and the teenage kid comes in and goes, mom, watch the eggs, mom, make sure you don't burn the eggs, mom, be careful, watch it, don't let it get away from you. And the mom's like, stop it already. And the kid's like, no, you got this. Oh, but you got, don't take your attention off the eggs. The mom's like, would you stop? He's like, I just wanted to make sure you know what it's like when I'm trying to play soccer. Mm-hmm.
That is so true, Sandy. You know, I was in a Twitter chat and we were discussing what it's like to be a sideline parent. And in high school sports, I know my son played travel soccer, my daughter was a swimmer, and I was that mom on the side doing exactly what you said, you know, go. Sports was this place for them to exercise and relax and, you know, meet other people and just have a better experience. And me, I am a little bit competitive by nature, so I was over there being the biggest cheerleader. And every now and then I could tell my kids would just look at me like, oh, for the love of Pete, mom, stop, you know? And that is why I am so excited about today's guest. It is Janice Meredith. And Janice is a parenting coach, international blogger, and author who focuses on providing various resources to help parents raise champions. And she and her husband, Ted, have raised 3 children of their own who all played sports from the age of 4 up through college. And every single one of them is now engaged in successful careers and are champions. She is passionate about helping parents as they strive to raise their kids, especially in this arena of sports. Welcome to Mighty Parenting, Janice.
Oh, guys, thanks so much for having me here. This is fun. I really appreciate it.
Well, I'm very interested in this conversation, Janice. And Judy touched on this. She mentioned, you know, the purpose of sports. And I think that's true. You know, for most of us, we want our kids to have a good time, get some exercise, build relationships. Yes, they're going to learn some lessons. But sometimes it just all gets blown way out of proportion. And all of a sudden, there's this huge pressure on our kids to be amazing, to be the best, to get a scholarship, to, you know, you would think that they were all going to be Olympic athletes or professional athletes. And so how, as a parent, you know, watching our kids, how can we tell if that line's been crossed and they're feeling that kind of pressure, that it's gone beyond just a good activity?
Yeah, I think, well, first of all, I think it's important to realize that this kind of pressure from the parents can lead to burnout in young athletes. I've seen many of them, you know, feel the pressure from their parents and got to a point where they, you know, quit the sport or they just got burned out. And so, and that always made me sad because it usually happened to athletes that were really good. And so I think that's one of the ways that you can tell that you're going too far. But you know, I think it's hard for parents to really know that they've gone too far because they're so invested in seeing their kids do well and seeing them succeed. We all want our kids to succeed. And they want so much for that that they don't stop to realize that their behavior may be contributing to the problem rather than helping the problem. So, you know, if your kid comes home and you start asking a bunch of questions about practice and how much playing time they got and how much they were on the starting lineup and, you know, these kind of things communicate where your priorities are, you know, not, hey, how was practice? Tell me the best thing that happened today or what did you learn or, you know, and then just let it go. You know, I think too much badgering them, asking questions, you know, being overly invested in all that they do. But again, it's hard for parents to pull back. They don't always recognize that they're doing that.
So if our kids come home and they don't want to talk about practice, or they don't want to go to practice, we just see them being, having a different attitude about it than they used to, or being a little lackadaisical. Sounds like those might be those early signs, like pre-burnout.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that could maybe be the sign that, hey, either we or somebody, but oftentimes it is, it's us well-meaning parents who are just putting on too much pressure.
Yeah. And if you sense that your kid is pulling back, I always think that there's a right time to have a conversation, and you know your kids, so you know when they're receptive, you know. So when you feel it's a teachable moment, when you feel that they're in one of those talking moments, and it's not going to be all the time, it's probably not going to be when they come home from practice, but you have to know when that time is. And when it is, then it's good to have that conversation and ask them, hey, what do you love about sport? You know, what is it that, that gives you the passion, and how come you want to play, and ask those coaching kind of questions that will get them to talk. And then you can understand what they're feeling and, you know, whether they really are enjoying it anymore. You know, maybe they just started it because it was the thing to do and they really don't care anymore, which is fine. They can go do something else. There's always something they can do.
Well, I want to kind of rewind here for just one second, because you said something in your first answer that really struck home with me. And that was, when parents actually communicate where their priorities are, you know, when they're doing those actions, and it's a way of communicating where their priorities are. And I see that so often with the parent that's living vicariously through their child. Mm-hmm. How do you see that showing up, and what would be ways to combat that if you find yourself as a parent going, I didn't make it, but I'm going to make sure my kid does, yeah, kind of a thing. Do you see that?
Oh yeah. I think parents fall into that trap without realizing it. And, you know, they may be frustrated from what they didn't do, or frustrated because their kid's not doing as well as them, or frustrated because they never even played. There's many reasons for that frustration. It's just one of those things that they have to come to their understanding that they're doing it, first of all. And that's a hard thing for them to realize unless someone starts asking them questions, like, or brings it, you know, makes them realize it. But as a parent who's listening to our talk right now, I would say, if you are wondering if you're that parent, just try going to a game and not coaching your kid on the way. Try going to the game and sitting in the stands and enjoying it. I always tell parents that we need to parent with the end in mind. What kind of adult do you want your kid to be? And so then you have to work backwards and say, what is my child going to learn from this experience to make them that kind of a person that I hope they grow up to be? So, you know, it's thinking through all this and realizing that maybe I'm just a little bit too, I always say it's, I call it overfunctioning. You know, you're overfunctioning as a parent when you're too invested in your child, when you get so upset about every little thing that happens, when you can't enjoy it, you know, when you find yourself jumping in to interfere and fight the battles, and then you've crossed that line of becoming perhaps living vicariously through your child.
That's a great explanation of what it is. So if we find that that's happening and we get in this role, is there something we can say to our kids to kind of help them understand where we're coming from? I'm just thinking of that parent that is like, they just can't stop being involved. You know, the kind I'm talking about, the ones that are just literally running up and down the sidelines with the coach. It's almost as if we need to learn how to take a step back and let the coach be the coach and us just be the parent. And I'd love for you kind of just to dig in and say why it's so important to have that distinction where you aren't the coach and the coach is not the parent. I see both ways going back and forth.
Yeah, absolutely. Coach's job is actually a long list, you know, teaching skills, teaching teamwork. Hopefully the coach cares about character as well. All these things. And the parent's job is to support and encourage. That's it. That's it. And the kid doesn't need to have a lot of coaches. They just need to have the ones. And you may not agree with the coach. That's fine. You don't have to agree with the coach. They're going to have a different coach next season or next year. That's not the issue. It's not the end of the world if you don't like their strategy or their philosophy. But kid doesn't need to get badgered like that at home. And you know, it's so easy to fall into that because we want to get into the car and we want to start saying, you know, like, did you see what you did? And, you know, maybe the good question would be to ask the child, so-and-so, how would you like me to behave at your game? What would be the best thing that, what would be the best way for me to support you at your game? And see what the kid says. See what, I'd be interested. I would, you know, if I asked my kids that, I would be like, I kind of know them well enough to know what they would say, but let the kid tell you what they want, what kind of behavior they want from you. You know, just give them a chance to express that.
I love that idea of putting that control back in their hands, because it's so easy to think that we know what's best for them. Mm-hmm. And even if our idea would have been better for them, it's okay for them to choose for us to do it differently. It's okay for them to make the wrong choice, and to not let us help or whatever that would be in that situation. So I really like giving that control back to them.
Mm-hmm. And it goes to the whole, you brought up the, you may not always see eye to eye with the coach. Is there a way that we can, if we don't like that, should we be talking to the coach directly, or should we just be hands off, especially in those high school years? I mean, is there a line that we have to be careful not to cross or should cross?
Yeah, I think that, you know, my own personal feeling is that unless it is a matter of safety or morality or bullying or anything like that, that the strategy of the game, the playing time, the position, all those things really should be between the player and the coach. And if your child is young, you know, you may have to help them and coach them how to have that conversation. Like, they may not know always, we used to tell our kids, if you don't like it, go talk to the coach, you know? So your child may say, well, I don't know what to say to them, you know, then in that point, you can just role play with them and coach them through that, or even go with them and let the child talk.
That's fantastic.
So just to, you know, give them that, you know, and then obviously when they get to high school, honestly, they should be doing it on their own. My husband used to get so many parents and of high school kids coming into, he was a teacher as well. And, you know, he would have juniors and senior parents coming in and saying, you know, my kid's not doing this and my kid's not doing that. And he would look at them and say, your child is a senior, have them come talk to me about it, you know? And so, shoot, they're going to have to go off to college next year. They better know how to talk to their or their coach, you know? So that is a life skill.
Right.
That many parents rob their kids of by right. always saying that they have to be the one to do it. And honestly, whenever we did it, and I will say that we made the mistake and did it a few times, our kids never wanted it. They have never appreciated it. They always feel like, Mom, why'd you do that for? I didn't want you to do that, you know? So they don't want it, you know?
Exactly. Well, and you know, it goes to that whole emotional side of sports, that it is more than the game and winning or losing. It's really about that character development and the strength development and being able to be an advocate for yourself. So I want to kind of pivot a little bit here. Our kids oftentimes put so much importance on getting on a team or playing on the sports or things like that. They may have voices or something that says, I'm not good enough, or they might not make the team and be very self-deprecating. So what kind of advice would you give a parent before tryouts, during tryouts, after tryouts, kind of a thing?
Yeah, that's, you know, tryout season in our house was always very hard. And I think it was harder on the parents than it was on the kids, because we so wanted our kids to do well and succeed. And I remember just having, like, my stomach would be in knots. So the advice is, when our kids were trying out, we tried not to be overly interested every time they came home from the tryout practice. Like, how did it go today? What happened? You know, we would just maybe just say a casual, hey, how'd it go? And not pepper them with like, how many girls are trying out? And you know, do you see who you think's going to make, you know, all that kind of stuff. That they don't want to do that. They don't want to be thinking that. And we just need to encourage them to go and do their best. And I think it's important also for the kids to realize that what coaches are looking for. They're not always just, yes, they're obviously looking for skilled players, but there's intangibles that they're looking for in players. They're looking for coachability. They're looking for teamwork. They're looking for leadership. They're looking for hustle. You know, my husband always said he'd rather have, he coached football and softball. He'd rather in football and softball. He said, I'd rather have 9 or 10 girls or whatever that were not the best athletes, but that had the biggest hearts and hustled rather than a team of the best athletes who didn't, you know? So those intangibles are very important, and your child could literally make the team based on those intangibles. I really do believe that. I've seen it happen many times.
Well, and again, it goes back to this whole life lessons idea. You know, you talked, Judy talked, and now we're back to it again. One of the things that we claim as parents that we want our kids to get from sports is to learn life skills. Well, if we're jumping in and fighting their battles, if we are pushing them all the time, that's not letting them have that opportunity to learn the life skills. And here again is an opportunity to help them learn life skills. Hey, it's not just about your talent. And if they are talented, they need to know that they need these other things as well. One of my girls, she was an athlete and a musician, but at the music school, they had a poster up, and I don't remember the exact verbiage, but essentially it said that hard work will outdo talent every time. You know, if hard work will beat talent if talent doesn't work hard, that you can't just have the talent. But again, it goes back to the life skills. And that's kind of part of what I'm getting from a thread in this conversation is let our kids learn from the experience, but let them learn on their own. Mm-hmm. Take that step back and just be the place for them to have as a sounding board or a cushion on a bad day, you know, someone to listen, to be that listening ear on a bad day, or a place to go to celebrate when something good happens. But to take that step back and let them take over in this area of their life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, I think that a lot of parents don't intend to miss it, but I feel like there is a gold mine in youth sports that they are just not seeing because they're focused on this game, what position my child is playing, how many minutes they're playing, whether they like the coach's philosophy, and they're not seeing that they have been given a golden opportunity here for their child to learn some valuable lessons, and they're just not taking advantage of it. It's not only in sports, it would be in anything they were in, but sports is one of those arenas that provides that opportunity, and many parents are just not seeing it. They're not cluing in of the value of what's right in front of them.
Mm-hmm. So if you could give a tip to a parent, like if their kids are going to be in sports, what is something that we need to keep top of mind whenever our child is in sports?
Yeah, I'd say sports is fun. Sports is a blast. And it, for some people, it may open doors of opportunity for the future, but nothing is more important than what your child becomes in the process. And so as you go along, it's awesome if your kid makes it to varsity. It's awesome if your kid plays in college. But the most important thing is who they are becoming as they play, because that's what's going to keep on going after they're done playing. You know, who do you want, again, going back to what I said, who do you want your child to become? And when you come across situations, maybe parents are facing a tough season, their child is not happy, frustrated, they want to jump in, parents asking themselves, what does my child need to learn in this situation? I think is a good question to keep keep up there in your brain. What does my child need to learn the situation? And how can I best help them learn it? Mm-hmm. Not how can I fix it for them, but how can I help them learn it?
And then actually do that. Listen to what they say and then actually do it.
Right.
One last question, and then I'm going to have Sandy, you know, tie it all up unless she had something else. But what happens if your spouse and you aren't on the same page when it comes to sports? You know, we talk all about parenting, and if your spouse and you have different viewpoints, do you have any strategies to help that or communication things we can do that will help our kids?
Yeah, and that happens very, very commonly. I've heard about that a lot. And there were times when my husband and I were on the same page, mostly because he was a coach and he saw everything from the coach's perspective, and I was the parent and I saw everything from the parent's perspective. But that's, you know, every marriage is different. So it's hard to say what will work with one will work with another. But I think it's important for them to look at, like, for me, it was important to have a place to vent, but it was also important for my husband not to think that because I vented, he had to go fix it. He had to go talk to the coach, or he had to chew the coach out. No. I was just venting. I think it's important to have that, to be able to share that with each other. If he's more competitive and you're not as worried, you may have to do some, you know, and what if you have a dad that's getting, it's really hard on the kid, and the mom's like, no, don't be so hard on the kid. You know, that's a situation where you may have to jump in and help them understand each other. But I don't think I'm really giving you a good answer here because I feel like it's something that is so individual. Like if I was to do that, if I was to help someone through that, I would have to talk to them and say, okay, are they being more competitive, you know, or what's the issue? Bottom line is there needs to be good communication between the parents so that they understand where they're both coming from. But if they're not communicating well, then that's a whole nother issue. So that's one of those questions that I don't really feel like there's one specific answer for, but I think it's something that has to be dealt with individually, but it is very common and it is frustrating. And you know, it depends on how healthy the marriage is and kids, unfortunately, disagreeing over kids can hurt couples. And so that's something that couples need to be aware of, you know, that sport, you sports, letting your child sports come between you is just, you know, it's not worth it. And so, yeah, I'm sorry. I don't think that was a real good answer.
No, it is. You know, I do believe what you said was great. It's not letting your child's involvement in sports become a point of argument and be sure to open up those lines of communication. And the fact is that it is different for everyone and different couples will struggle differently. I just could see our listeners going, oh my gosh, Janice, you've shared so many great things to get us started in this topic. But Sandy, I know we are bumping up here, so wrap us up and give us the high points.
Okay, so when it comes to sports, this is supposed to be an activity that is fun, that's skill building, but can turn into a huge pressure cooker for the kids. So if you see your child pulling back, they don't want to talk about practice, maybe they don't want to go to practice anymore, there could be lots of things going on, but they might be leading up to burnout. It might be that pressure that's getting to them. So take a step back and have a conversation with them and go, hey, you know, are you still enjoying this? What do you like about sports? What is it about this sport? Is this still a good fit for you? It could be the parents creating the pressure. Maybe the kid actually likes the sport, but they feel they can't live up to mom and dad's expectations. So if you're listening and you're wondering if you're that parent, the parent who's pushing or living vicariously through your child, try a couple of little tests. Janice, you told us, you know, like take them to practice and don't even discuss practice on the way. Don't tell them what to do. Don't coach them on their way to practice. Let the coach do it. Same thing driving to or from a game or attending the game. Don't get into discussions about their actual performance. Just, you know, one general acknowledgement of, hey, you know, great try or great game, whatever, and just let it drop and see if you can do that without being too terribly uncomfortable. The more and correct me if I'm wrong here, Janice, the more uncomfortable we are doing that, the more we've probably been pushing.
Yeah, and I would say too that if your child is the initiator of the conversation and wants you to, you know, has questions for you, that's totally fine. Mm-hmm. Like, Mom, what was I doing wrong? You know, well, I don't know if I'd give them an answer. I may say, go talk to your coach, but it's okay if the child is initiating the conversation too.
Okay. All right. And then we need to have we do have our own role. You know, the coach has his role or her role. They have a ton of things, a whole list of things they need to get done and teach. But the parent's job is just to support and encourage. And to also, if you know, the younger our kids are, the more they need this, but to teach them to advocate for themselves, to go talk to the coach and to work through things with the coach directly. And then tryouts, it's a dicey time. So again, don't pepper them with questions, you said. Just kind of do a general, hey, how'd it go? And let them talk about it as much as they want. But if they're getting down or they're beating themselves up or they're overly stressed and you do have that conversation, you know, if it's a time to have a conversation, remind them that coaches are looking for more than skill. Or even before they go to tryouts, remind them that they're also looking for coachability, leadership, hustle, just a big heart, and that you want to have those other qualities in addition to whatever talent you do or don't possess. And just remember that youth sports is a goldmine for our kids to learn valuable lessons. Along the way, they can do a lot or not do a lot, and the sports are fun, but nothing is more important than who our child becomes in the process. And love this. And also, I just want to let our listeners know that Janice has a website, jbmthinks.com. So if you're listening, you're going, oh, I want more, I need more from her, just go to jbmthinks.com.
Thanks so much, Janice, for being here. I know that it's a lot to chew on, and we are going to dig into Real Talk, where we are discussing how to be a sandwich generation family right after this quick message.
Parenting is the toughest job you'll ever love. It's a common phrase because it's so true. And as the teen years roll around and you start seeing changes in your child and you may start wondering, what's going on? Are they okay? Is this normal? And again, as they move out of the house, go out on their own, go off to college, you see more changes. And sometimes the changes are perfectly normal. And sometimes they're an indication that your child's in over their head, that there are things going on that they can't handle. And the parents' worry and their concern is, how do I know the difference? Well, now there's a book that can tell you. It's Warning Signs, and it is a parenting guide to help you understand about those changes and to help you figure out if your child could be at risk for depression, addiction, or suicide. The book will take you by the hand, walk you through that understanding, give you the confidence to be able to take the next step, to have a conversation or whatever it is that you need to do, and to give you some idea on some of the paths that you can follow. You can go to dacium.net to the store in the shop there and get your own copy.
Okay, welcome back. It is time for Real Talk, and today we are talking about being part of the sandwich generation. At that time when you are raising middle school, high school, college kids, so many of us find ourselves in that place where we are still raising and supporting our kids at the same time that we are helping our parents and sometimes our grandparents they age. Yes. And or helping, and in my case, helping my parents help my grandparents age. So it's a multi-layered sandwich. And there's a lot to this. There's a lot about boundaries and time management and all those kinds of things. But today in Real Talk, what Judy and I want to talk about is how to make this a family experience, how to use it as a parenting experience. Because I think a lot of times, as parents, as the adults, you know, we somehow feel that we have to take all of this on and almost protect our kids from any extra chores, extra stuff to be done. It's like, these are my parents. This is my responsibility. Mm-hmm. And I think we lose out on a good parenting moment when we do that.
I couldn't agree more, Sandy. I really believe that family it's almost like it takes a village. And it takes a family to raise kids. Helping our kids understand how to manage and support extended family is such an important life lesson. At least I believe that.
I think so. Plus, we're grooming them to take care of us.
Exactly.
Because this is going to be their job. And where else do they learn it other than watching us do it and walking with us as we do it? And I'm not saying dump it on your kids. That's Absolutely. Not what I'm saying. It's just like we taught them everything else. In age-appropriate ways, invite them in to help out with it. You know, there are lots of things they can do. They can certainly help out with the more physical things that a grandparent might need. If they need things done around their yard, you know, if they happen to still be in their own home and they need things done around their yard, or they need stuff moved or cleaned or sorted inside the house.
I'm laughing as you say that because my daughter is like the queen of organization. And from the time that she was young, my mother is not the queen of organization. So from the time that she was young, every quarter or something like that, my daughter would literally reorganize her pantry, my mom's pantry. And my mother loved it. And Heather, she likes to organize. So she would just go in and organize and clean out and get rid of older stuff and things like that. And they both felt great about it. Heather felt like she was doing something for my mom. And my mom loved the fact that she could now find everything because it was all categorized. And
that is funny.
Yeah. And an interesting thing happened, though. My mom learned more about Heather's personality than if she was just having a conversation with her, because she saw Heather in process. And so when you say that they can become part of doing some of those physical things, I think it's a win-win for both the kids and our parents.
Well, I agree. And ours takes a different form. My youngest, she tends to, well, she will help. If someone asks her to do something, and she will offer to do obvious things or whatever, but her niche that she's so good at is really, it's more like providing companionship. You know, she makes sure that she goes over, like she's home now between the end of college and the beginning of her internship. And she has set this for herself that she is going over to see her grandmother at least every 2 days. And it's not just that she shows up there. Like you said, I watch what happens and I see my daughter getting advice and learning about other aspects of life because she's having different conversations than what they're going to have when the whole family is around.
Absolutely.
So, and I'm sure that my mother-in-law is learning more about my daughter as well. And it's also drawing my mother-in-law out into different aspects of the world that maybe she wouldn't have been taking the time to be part of at this point in her life. Mm-hmm. You know, she might get her to go out and go do something that my mother-in-law wouldn't do on her own. So yeah, you know, these are these things that the kids can do that has so much value and so much benefit for everybody involved, because that also means that it might free you up to take care of something else that needs to be done, or it might even free you up to have a little me time to take care of yourself so you can be the person you need to be for both your kids and your parents. Because we need to be more conscious of our self-care. We may not need more self-care, but we might need to shift what we're doing. So those are a couple of things. The other thing is along that line of plugging them into your kids' life, and is the, you know, like companionship and doing things, is just making sure that the grandparents know about stuff that's happening and the recitals and the competitions and the even things that aren't necessarily an activity. Again, last summer, my daughter was on this binge. She painted a bunch of rooms in our house. So invite the grandma over to see the paint job, and you know, just those things that help everybody stay in touch.
And I think as our kids get older, I think that we can encourage and kind of lead them to, hey, Sally, you have a recital next week, or you have an award ceremony next week, or you have a play next week, or you have a sporting event next week, call grandma and invite her.
Yes. It's that passing the mantle of certain age-appropriate things to the kids. Don't take it all on yourself. And we're talking about, you know, we talk about teens and young adults here, kids in college and or kids after high school, they get past 18, especially get in their later 20s. They can also be the one who goes over and make sure that somebody took their medication, or they can go over and cook meals, or they can
take them grocery shopping.
They can take grocery, or they can interface with the staff at the nursing home or at the assisted care facility. They can help with those things.
Like you said, they can actually be the eyes and ears. Because so often as our parents age, and I see this across the board, our parents don't always hear everything a doctor says or the person on the credit card company. You know, they have trouble with new technology, and our kids are really, really good at that. So having our kids help our parents make those calls or get through that prompt system that they don't know how to do, or fix the connection on the internet or something, it can be really empowering and leave the frustration that we have as children of our parents. They don't have that. Our kids don't. And our parents are much more patient with our children than they are with us sometimes.
That is true. Different people in the family, different personalities, different generations. Our parents still see us as their kids, and they had a different relationship with us than they do with their grandkids. And I know we've used that in our family at times, just even between my husband and I and our kids. We know, hey, you know, this one responds better to you. This one responds better to me under this circumstance, or you do a better job with that. And so we split it up, and definitely the kids can be, they can be a better resource at times.
I want to just touch also, because it's not just about how it can relieve for you. It can really be something great for your kids, because being compassionate, helping our older generation, really teaches us something about ourselves. So often in our society, as we age, it almost feels like aging is a bad thing, and the elderly get dismissed, and that they aren't valuable in some way. So by helping our kids get involved in the whole process of our parents' lives, they will become more respectful and understanding of a generation that they may not have fully grasped. And then when we get older, they'll have a little more patience with us and compassion for us. So teaching them to value the aging process and to see all of the amazing insight, experience, and life lessons that our parents have learned and passing them on to our kids can really be valuable. I think that's missing in our society right now.
I think so too. And so it's simple. This is a simple, well, what I do, right? Simple strategies.
Right.
Involve the kids. Just stop pushing them out of it. And even if they don't want to be involved, then that's okay. Assign them. And chances are that they'll find their niche, and you can talk to them and say, these are things that need to be taken care of or need to be done, or these are ways you can help. What do you want to do?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love this. I love all the things that we are talking about, and just want to say thank you to our listeners so much for joining us in this episode. If you have liked what you've heard today, be sure to comment, subscribe, and share. Because that's how we help other parents that might be in the same parenting situation as you. And if it's your first time listening, welcome. Because here at Mighty Parenting, we are so much more than a podcast. We're a community that supports one another as we raise our teens and parent our young adults. YouTube can become a Mighty Parent by listening in and visiting mightyparenting.com. Choose a path that works for you. And until next time, this is Judy Davis here with Sandy Fowler, encouraging you to become a mighty parent.